Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. God's will is not that we be overwhelmed, overcome, but that we overcome whatever it is that would come against us. The scripture says that faith, our faith, is the victory that overcomes the world. It's not complicated, but it's not something you can just stir up on your own either. And it's not something that somebody else can give to you. It comes from hearing what God has said and choosing to believe it. And in His Word is power and quickening of His Spirit when He tells you something. You know, for instance, the Scripture said in the Gospel accounts that one night that Jesus' disciples was going across the lake and they saw Him coming to them walking on the water. And first it scared them. And the Lord said, it's me, don't be afraid. And so Peter says, Lord, if that's You, tell me to come. And so He said, come. You know, this teaches us volumes, you know. If some theologians had been writing this, when Peter asked it, they said, Peter, who do you think you are? Thinking you can come out here and do what the Son of God is doing. You sit down in the boat and be quiet. It's not what He said. That's not the Master. What'd the Master say? Come on. Come out here, boy. Let's do it. Is the Lord still calling us, come do what I do?
Yes.
Huh? Yes. Did He say, be imitators of God
yes.
as dear children? He said, come on. Well, let's walk on the water together.
Yes.
Really? And so before Peter heard that word from Jesus, come, could he walk on the water?
No.
But when he heard that word come, there was power in that word.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Power in that word that the Lord spoke to him that actually enabled him to get up, step out of the boat, and when his foot came in contact with the water, instead of just sinking into the water, there was something between his foot and the water. Oh, hallelujah. It was the power of that word. And he walked on the water to Jesus until he got distracted and got in fear, got out of faith. What are we saying? No matter what place we're in life, how weak we might be, how many times we've failed, what you need is a word from the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And once you get that word from the Lord, if you will believe it and you will receive it, the word will empower you to be and do what you could not be, what you could not accomplish on your own. You can get free from the sin. You can get free from the addictions, from the habits, from repeated failing. You can.
Yes.
I said you can. By the Lord's. Come on, somebody say it out loud. I can.
Do all things.
Through Christ.
Who strengthens me.
And the way He strengthens you is by His words and by His Spirit. So, Father, we thank You again today for the wonderful privilege of coming before You, coming to You, coming together like this, and hearing Your wonderful, life-giving liberating, healing, delivering words. We ask for them today and we thank You for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise to the Lord. Well, for weeks now, we have been on a topic we're calling Faith for Provision. And you hang with us through this entire series. I'm telling you, your faith for provision is going to come to new levels.
Yes.
Huh? And where you might have struggled to think, can we pay our bills? Can we get caught up? Can we get ahead? Instead of saying, can we? You'll say, we can. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. And we will. Yes. And we are.
Yes.
It's a matter of faith. And like we said, faith is not just something you drum up. It comes from what you hear. So we have been giving 30 reasons, 30 things to hear on the subject of God's will for provision. And we've come to the conclusion already, we're at number 16 now, that it is always God's will for us to have abundant provision. Said out loud, I am sure.
I am sure.
Abundant provision.
Abundant provision.
Is always. God's will. For us all.
For us all.
Say it again. I am sure.
I am sure.
Abundant provision.
Is always.
God's will.
For me.
So we began with number one reason, the Lord is my shepherd. And then we kept going down. We talked about the goodness of God. We talked about the fatherhood of God. We talked about the creation of God, God's will in heaven. We talked about the God of Abraham. If Abraham was here today, he's alive right now with the Lord. And if he was here today, I would sit down and turn it over to him. And if we could say, Father Abraham, what kind of God did you know? Some people say that sometimes God wants you poor and teaches you through poverty. What do you know about that? What do you think he would say? He said, well, the God I knew made me rich, right? Richest man in that whole part of the country. No, the God of Abraham is not a God who makes you poor. We talked about us being the seed of Abraham, that the blessing that made Abraham rich, Galatians 3 and other places, says belongs to us. Believers in Christ. And we talked about the blessing of tithing. We talked about honor and riches. We talked about wisdom and wealth. We talked about being an imitator of God as dear children. We talked about the great I am, who he is. He has made great redemptive names like I am the Lord who heals you. I am the Lord your righteousness. I am the Lord your shepherd. These kind of things. Nobody has a right to say that the great I am used to be.
That's right.
No, he is.
He
still is.
Yes.
And we looked at the different names of God. We talked about the God of restoration. We talked about how he provided for his people in the bleak, desolate wilderness, provision in the wilderness. And now we're down to number 16 in our study, the promised land. Now, if you have not been with us through all these, it's not too late. Go to faithschool.org and all the previous lessons are there. They won't cost you anything. And there's no obligation. Just go watch them, listen to them, get caught up. Because today we're building on all those previous 15 scripture reasons. So go with me again today, if you would, to Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. And let's continue to talk about the promised land. On yesterday's class, we looked at how that God said, I have spied out a land for you. When God says, I found something for you. I looked everywhere. And when he said he looked everywhere, right?
Yeah.
And I have found the spot for you. And he said, it is a good land. Somebody say good. It's a good land. Now, the Bible talks about, you'll see the phrase good and evil. And today we don't use the word evil as much as the King James usage, but evil just means bad. It's the opposite of good. And of course, there are different degrees of bad. So he didn't say it's a bad land. He said it's a
good land.
Good land. Now this is, there's more to this than sometimes people have thought. If you ask most Christians, is God a good God?
Yes.
What would they say?
Yes.
Most everybody would immediately go, oh, yeah. But the truth is, many don't really believe it. They just don't. And why would you say that, Brother Keith? Well, listen to them. And usually before the day's over, they'll attribute something bad to God. So they don't really believe that He is good, completely good, and only good. And this is the enemy's doing. The Scripture tells us that the goodness of God will lead you to change. It will draw you to repentance. And man, that's the last thing the enemy wants. Mm-hmm. Right? Amen. That means he'd be losing people. Right. So he does everything he can to hide the goodness of God or distort people's beliefs about the goodness of God. The goodness of God is one of the most attacked and maligned things there is. And nothing would help you, hardly anything maybe I'd say, would help you more than getting a full revelation of the goodness of God. Amen. Is He good?
Yes.
Let's just as an act of faith, say it out loud, I believe in the goodness of God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Now, regardless of who you are, there's a choking point. How good is He? You know, I was out of the country a while back, and I was in an area where there was a lot of poverty, as well as some certain places there was affluence. But I said this, I said, is God bicycle good?
Yeah.
I said, what do you mean by that? Well, having a good bicycle is better than walking.
Amen.
Right? Amen. You can get around quicker. You can get to more places. Is he bicycle good? Because there were some people in the group that needed a bicycle. And they said, yeah. I said, is God used car good?
Yes.
Hmm?
Yes.
And several of them, yeah, pretty good response. I said, is God new car?
Oh, yes.
Good. Mm-hmm. Huh? Well, the amens were a little more subdued. They weren't quiet. And I was like, is God, you know, new Toyota good?
Yes.
Is God new Mercedes good?
Yes.
Is God new Bentley good?
Yes.
And it started to get quiet.
Huh?
So what am I saying? Is God brand new Rolls Royce? Good.
Yes.
Well, see, just saying that, you lose people. People are like, no. What do you mean, no? He's not that good?
Yes, he is.
Well, it's not a matter of that. Really? Hmm? Is a new car good or bad?
Good.
Wow. And see, you see people, you know, get their theological hat and blinders on and go, well, it just depends. No, is a brand new car better than a wore out junker?
Yes.
Do you need to go to school to figure that one out?
No.
Same thing with a house. I talked to him about that. I said, is God efficiency apartment good?
Yes.
Yeah, sure beats living on the street.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
Or having to live with somebody else.
Yes. That's right.
Is God a three-bedroom condo good?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Is God single-family home?
Yes.
Three-bedroom, two-bath, two-car garage, front yard, backyard good?
Yes.
Is he?
Yes.
Is he?
Yes.
Is God 10-acre estate?
Oh, yes.
Huh? Yes. 8,000 square foot. Home, swimming pool.
Yes.
Good.
Yes. Yes.
But see, what am I saying? You get to a place where people start going, there's a choke point. And that's the point. They don't believe God is that good. Mm-hmm. They'd never say it. But it's a choke point. And there needs to be an enlargement. If you want to know about God, who He is, what He is, don't go to the library and pull out a dusty theology book. Go outside on a clear night. Come on, y'all with me. Look up in the sky. Is he big?
Yes.
Is he big? Look across the Pacific Ocean from the shore on a clear day. How many fish is in the sea? Huh? Look across the mountains. Yeah, God is such a big God. You know what a big house is to God? It's like a couple, it wouldn't be a penny. He creates solar systems. He creates planets. A Rolls Royce, wouldn't it be like a matchbox car to him? It'd be right, it's just Hot Wheels, right? I mean, he's like, nothing to him, but because of covetousness and money meaning too much to people. That's why people think, oh, no, that's so much money. That's too big. You hear people say stupid stuff like, oh, they got more money than God. Stupid.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
How can you say such bizarrely ignorant, stupid stuff? But you will find covetousness, a love of money, is a problem.
Yes.
It is a big deal, even among many Christians. People care too much about it. They love it too much. They care too much about it. They dream about it too much. And it is a greater priority to them than the will and plan of God. And that's the problem. The Bible did not say money is the root of all evil.
No.
Did not say that. Is it good to have money or have no money? This is not a trick question. Is it good to have a lot of money?
Yes.
Or not enough money? Yes. It's good to have a lot of money.
Yes.
You don't have to just go blow it on drugs.
That's right.
Right? Right? You can do good stuff with money.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's good to have a lot of resources, a lot of an abundance of it, but it is bad to love it. That's the problem. Loving it. The love of the money is the root of all kinds of evil. So look in Deuteronomy 6, verse 10. The whole passage is great, but for time's sake, we'll just read a portion. We just are elaborating on the word good. Say it out loud again. God,
my God.
Is a good God.
Is a good God.
His will for me,
His will for me,
is a good plan.
Is a good plan.
He's picked out for me.
He's picked out for me.
A good place.
A good place.
And good things.
And good things.
And a good life.
And a good life.
Is that true or not?
Is
it? Is it true? Now a lot of people are not experiencing it. I know that. But then a lot of people don't believe in God either. And a lot of folks that do don't believe in His goodness, or that not to much of a degree. But that's them. You can't control them. You can control you.
Amen.
Deuteronomy 6 and 10. It said, "It shall be when the Lord your God shall have brought you into the land which He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you what?
Great
and goodly cities which you builded not, and houses full of what?
All
good things that you filled not, and wells digged which you dig not, and vineyards and olive trees which you planted not." When you're eaten and you're full, he goes on to say, don't forget about the Lord your God. And in the eighth chapter later, he said, remember that he's the one that kept his covenant and gave you power to get wealth, to establish his covenant in the earth. This is Bible.
Yes.
This is not religious tradition.
Right.
This is the word of God.
Yes.
That does not change. And this, you know, sometimes people talk about the wealth of the sinner being laid up for the just. That's exactly what this is. Somebody spent years and millions on construction,
right?
And work, and built the city, and built the house, and had furniture brought in from other places and carpets and sculptures and this and that. And he's saying, yeah, but I'm just going to have you move in.
Thank you, Lord.
You're just going to bring your underwear and just move in.
Yes.
Already got your chairs, got your bed, got your closet, got clothes.
Oh.
Hmm? You got stuff. And you didn't have to labor for it. Now, this is Matthew 6:33. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, you'll find this in Luke as well, he talked about don't be like the ungodly, and they worry all the time about what are we going to eat, what are we going to wear, where are we going to live, how are we going to make it. He said, don't do that. He said, your Father knows you have need of all these things. He said, but you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He said, and all these things will be added to you. God's will is that instead of you working all your life to get that house, to get that land, to get that place, to get that retirement, instead of that, you put His kingdom first, His church, His gospel, His mission work. Come on, can you see this? That's your priority. And as you're doing that, now this doesn't all happen overnight or in a month or two, but as you're doing that, especially year after year, next thing you know, He moves you into a spot.
Yes.
Hallelujah. He finds you a place to live and a house that is exceeding abundantly above what you ever asked or thought. Yes. He adds to you stuff and vehicles, but you weren't chasing that.
No.
Oh, come on, are y'all listening or not? That was not your life's ambition and goal, was to have that. Your goal was to find and fulfill His will and help build His church and His kingdom. Help get the gospel to everybody in your generation. As you're doing that, He said, all these things shall be added to you. And that's when you just move into a place that was already prepared and somebody spent all kind of money on getting ready, but for whatever reason, they left, they didn't do it, and God just moves you right in.
Amen.
This has happened to me. This has happened to my wife Phyllis and myself numerous times over these past 40 plus years that we've been in the ministry. Literally, this has happened to us. I mean, the last place where we had, we were in ministry in a certain place for 20 years, and a number of years had passed. We were believing for a better place to live. We were in a rough little place, little apartment, and we moved up to a nicer apartment building. That was a big thing because it had a washer and dryer in the basement. Didn't have to go to the other place, you know. And then we stepped up to a better apartment, and then we went to a rent house. We had a house of our own.
Yes.
Had the washer and dryer in the house.
Yes.
Hey, had a garage where you could park your car and a little yard. It wasn't very big, but it was your own yard. And then we stepped up to a nicer house. And then this would have been over about 15, 18 years or so into this. The Lord helped us to get a house. It was in an executive area, part of town, and it was, I don't know, acre and a half or so yard, big pool, tennis court, multiple garages. So just exactly the kind of place we like. And we got it at a bargain. It had been lost, foreclosed on, wasn't even for sale. Publicly, but we drove by it and saw it and thought, what is that? And so we pulled in and looked in the windows and we called on it and made them an offer, and they took it. And so here we are. But we'd been in there for months and didn't even move our, had no pictures on the wall or anything. People came over to visit and said, what, y'all just move in last week? We said, no, we've been in here for months, but we're on the road. We're traveling. That's our priority,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Not the house. And then the Lord dealt with us, leave that. Just leave it and go to another place. That's when we relocated to another part of the country. And so we just walked away, left it. And then we have done that more than once. But then when we got down to the place where we are now, we saw a place that was very nice, multiple acres, great house, great place, but it just seemed too much to price-wise. And so we just kind of thought we'd pass on it, but the Lord brought it back to our attention. And a few months later, the price had took a big nosedive, and He helped us to move closer to it. And the people, since we had looked at it the first time, the woman of the house had gotten saved. And had joined a prayer group and a Bible study, and she knew we had looked at it. She told the person that led the Bible study about us, and they said, "Oh, we're their partners." And they said, "Well, we think they're supposed to have the house." And to make a long story short, God moved right and left, and He caused the deal to close. And they said, "We want to take care of everything for you." They left every stick of furniture. They filled the pantry with food. They cleaned it. We literally, when they told me to come, I said, "I'm just bringing my underwear." So this is not just a fairy tale. We moved into it. It was all done. And the kitchen had, I don't think it had even been cooked in. It was just amazing. Does the Lord still do things like this today?
Yes.
Houses, you didn't go through the process of building it. Wells, you didn't go through the process of digging it and all these things. But while you were busy putting God first, He added it to you.
Amen.
Somebody say, I choose
to seek first
the kingdom of God,
and His right ways.
And He will.
And He will.
He is faithful.
He is faithful.
He will.
Add to me
all these things. The right time.
The right way.
To His glory.
Hallelujah.
Just lift your hands and thank Him
for
just a moment. Lord, I thank You. I thank You by faith. I thank You in advance for adding to us excellent things. Good things, blessings. Say it out loud. Lord, do everything in my life in the way You are the most seen, the most exalted, the most glorified. Get glory to Yourself in me. Hallelujah. Well, that's it. Our time's up again today. I'll see you next time here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.